Good morning. Just a reminder to everyone that Zion at our last voters meeting authorized the establishment of a call committee to review candidates for the calling of a possible deaconess here at Zion. And we will keep updating everyone in the bulletin each week. We'll have announcements on our status. And I also just want to remind everyone, as I mentioned last week, that according to Zion's constitution, any member of Zion can actually nominate a candidate for us to consider and to review that candidate's resume and see if they might be a good fit for us. So if the congregation does have any candidates they'd like to nominate, please feel free to speak with me or Mike Krager. And this coming week, we're actually going to start some of our interviewing process. So it's moving along very well, and we appreciate your assistance with that. The other announcement I want to make is also in the back of our bulletin, we're listing our Holy Week schedule. And I just want to remind everyone that on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, not only will we be offering our 7 p.m. service, but also a 2 p.m. service on those days as well for anyone who'd like to come earlier rather than in the evening. The Old Testament reading for this, the fifth Sunday in Lent, is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from the fifth chapter of Hebrews. Every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. James and John thought Jesus was ready to be crowned king, and they wanted in on that good life. As Jesus entered Jerusalem, James and John pictured people showering Jesus with shouts of praise, and they wanted to be next to him when that happened. They thought Jesus would be lifted up and set on a golden throne, and they wanted to be part of that. James and John thought Jesus was about to have a crown of gold lowered on his head as king over all Israel, and they wanted to be right there when it happened, right on his left and right hand side of power. Yes, James and John thought Jesus was going to enjoy worldly power, and they would be right next to Jesus. But James and John were very wrong. Throughout history, there have been a lot of Christians who think God will bless you right now in very specific and usually materialistic ways. Even nowadays, some Christians look for Jesus' power being shown in their bank accounts or at the polls when they vote. Other Christians think God should bless them with a great paying job and a lot of extra money. We might even feel this way. But then the bank accounts don't fill up, the jobs don't pay as much as we may like, and the candidate we think should win doesn't. Lots of Christians nowadays think that just because we are Christian, we should enjoy a good health right here and right now. We can take this James and John approach to Jesus and believe good health should be a sign of God's blessing. But what happens when the most faithful Christian you know comes down with a terminal illness, cancer, or heart disease? And then that very faithful Christian gets sick, grows tired, and then that very faithful Christian dies. James and John wanted wealth and health in this life. And they were very confused when those things didn't happen. And we might be as confused as them sometimes. Ask yourself, why did Jesus come in this world in the first place? Did he come so that he could give us wealth and health in this life? Why did Jesus go through all that work of being born in the flesh by the Virgin Mary? Why did he grow up in Nazareth? Why did he go around for 3 years and do all those healings and teachings? Why did he do all that? Shouldn't Jesus end up in Jerusalem as king right here, right now, of all people and all nations? That's what James and John wanted. But why did he come in the flesh, sinless flesh, in the first place? James and John wanted to see that sinful flesh up on a throne. Well, that may have been what they wanted, but that is not what they needed. So Jesus took James and John aside, along with all of his disciples, and he basically said to them, I didn't come into this world to sit on a throne. I wasn't born in this world to get rich and famous. I didn't come for earthly militaries to do my bidding. I came for something so much greater. I came to offer my life as a ransom for all of you. I came down to lay down my life so you can be freed from death. It is tempting to crave the type of Jesus that James and John wanted. And I have no doubt you could go church shop throughout the Pittsburgh region and find many churches who will try and sell you a Jesus just like James and John wanted. There are plenty of churches out there who will promise you wealth and maybe even good health. But what does Jesus say about himself? What does Jesus say is the reason he came into this world? Jesus himself said, I came to offer my life as a ransom for many. Sometimes I think it's important for us to slow down and remind ourselves of what is most important in life. Sometimes it is good, especially during Lent, to pause and remember what is eternally important in this life. It's good for us to sometimes ponder the big questions of life, like, is it really that important that I have wealth in this life? Or even that I have good health in this life? And then there's the most important question. What will happen when I die? What is the most important thing in life right now to have life in the world to come? I think it's good for us to pause and think about some of those big questions. Because then Jesus comes along with the really big answer. I came to offer my life as a ransom for many. What matters most in this life right now is Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ came to do for each of us. James and John were interested today in having worldly wealth and health. Well, none of us are usually lacking money in this world. We usually have exactly what we need. Not what we want, what we need. As we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. But ask yourself, where are we often poor? Think about our relationship with God the Father. Is our relationship always rich with faithfulness? Is our life wealthy in keeping all of the commandments perfectly? Probably not. We're probably pretty poor in that regard. So what can Jesus do about that? A lot. Like he said, I came to offer my life as a ransom for many. Or what about health? Right now, at this moment in time, we are all alive. But one day, maybe just a few weeks from now even, or maybe a few years from now, our health could change. We could be very poor in health, and eventually we will die. I don't know about you, but my greatest sickness is not a cancer or an illness. My greatest sickness, in fact, all of our greatest sickness, is death. So what can Jesus do about that? Exactly what he said today. I came to offer my life as a ransom for many. Jesus entered Jerusalem to fix everything that was wrong with this world. He didn't come to fix it in the way James and John were hoping. They pictured all the people praising Jesus with these shouts of praise. No, the only shouts Jesus would receive in Jerusalem would be shouts of crucify him on Good Friday. And James and John thought Jesus would be lifted up and seated on a golden throne. Oh, the only lifting Jesus would receive in Jerusalem would be when he was hoisted up and seated on a cross for all the world to look at and mock. James and John thought Jesus was about to have a golden crown lowered on his head as he's crowned king over all of Israel. No crown of gold, just a crown of thorns, mocking him. But still, Jesus would prefer that crown of thorns. After all, he came into this world to be sacrificed, to become king over our sins and Lord over our deaths. And that cross is exactly where Jesus wanted to be. As painful as it was, Jesus needed to be on that cross for you. As humiliating as it was for Jesus, he wanted to be humiliated for you. As hellish as his death was, Jesus wanted to go through that hell more than anything so that you would not go through that hell. He would go through all of that for you. And he did. He did go through all of that just for you. Many Christians in this world will try and sell you a Jesus who only cares about your pocketbooks, your worldly happiness, your prosperity in this life. But Jesus doesn't care about your pocketbooks in this life. He wants you to be rich toward God. And through his sacrifice, you are the wealthiest men and women in all of creation. Jesus has given you everything you need. Many churches will try and make you happy in this life. Tell you that happiness in this life is all that matters. Well, being happy is nice, but happiness comes and happiness goes, doesn't it? I would rather hope that all of you have eternal happiness, knowing that Christ has done all that is needed to make God the Father happy with you. Now that is a happiness that is eternal. And when it comes to prosperity in this world, let the world chase after prosperity and wealth and homes and cars. All that's just going to rust or fade away when the latest gadget comes out or over time. Never forget, you are wealthy. You are prosperous in Christ. Because of what Christ has done for you, you are the richest person in the world. Because you have an eternal treasure that doesn't rust and can't be taken away from you. You have Jesus Christ given into death for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And because of that, you truly have everything you will ever need in this life. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.